I do have a word I feel like what the Lord does want to share. And I think it's interesting because I feel like God is speaking this even in the songs and where the Lord's been. I even hear what Women's Fellowship was talking about. So I think a lot of things are connecting with what God wants to say to us. Last week I talked about some things like don't let those dreams die. Don't let the gifts in you die. Don't let things just become dormant and lost somewhere in your life. There's times to revive and rekindle what God wants you to do, and wants you your purpose in life, and some things, God, that may God had spoken maybe a long time ago to you, but they're not dead. They're not dead. And sometimes we just have to realize we have to get out and rekindle and fan the flame. So today, though, I want to turn it in a little different aspect, but in some of the same theme of fanning the flame. And I want to talk about, and I can't talk about all today, but I want to talk about greater love, greater joy, greater works. And I realized when I started preparing this, this was too big of a topic to really talk about it in one time. So I'm going to divide it up, and I'm just going to get going today, especially focusing on greater joy. Now, let me ask you a question. You know, why would any believer, why would we as believers ever want to miss out on what God gives us, and only what God can give us? You know, the good things of God, the blessings of God. You know, in our lives, you know, why would we ever exchange greater things for lesser things, right? Why would we give up the joy of knowing God's love for the things of this earth? You know, why would we ever do that? You know, if I could have, if you could have exceeding, overflowing, abundant joy, you know, why would I exchange that for temporary things or temporary pleasures? But the reality is, if we think about that and we look at our lives, we have. We have. And I have, and you have. We all have, at times in our life, exchanged the very things that God offers us, and we've exchanged them for lesser things. Sometimes we didn't know it. We did it and we had no idea. We didn't know what was available to us. We didn't know the great things that God had for us, the greatness of our God. We didn't know. And then we were settling for lesser things, but we just didn't know. But sometimes we did know. We did know. And we did it anyway. We exchange for lesser things. You know, there's a joy of knowing God and being known by God. There's a great joy of knowing God and being known by God. There's a rich, deep fellowship that roots our soul in His love and gives us joy. That's what we're called to do, to root our very being in Him and have Him as our source and everything flowing into us from Him. There's great joy in this. But we can trade the pleasures of knowing God for much lesser things. And we've all done it. If we're honest, we've all done it. Each and every one of us. And we've probably done it many, many times. And honestly, we've probably just lived that way. Sometimes we live that way so long, we don't know. We don't know the difference because that's what we do. And that's how we live. We trade the pleasures of knowing God for lesser things, earthly things, even sinful things that we've come to accept and says, well, you know, I get some pleasure out of this. I get some return out of this. It's pleasurable to me. You know, I can choose and we can choose. I can choose greed, right? I can choose to be greedy. I can choose lust. I can choose gossip or I can choose power. I can choose things that become my pursuit because they give me something. I mean, everyone, they give me something. I wouldn't pursue anything in life unless they gave me something, right? Like some kind of return, some kind of pleasure, something. And I can choose things to become my pursuit that give me a moment of exhilaration. You know, think about it. If I have power over somebody, if my words have power over somebody, there's a certain exhilaration. You know, if I can gossip and I can control somebody's reputation with other people, ooh, there's a power feel. There's something powerful in that. Ooh, I get something from that. Lust, greed. You know, if I can walk into a room and people can know who I am, I'm pretty important. Is this our joy? Is this the joy we live for? Are these the kind of things that we settle for in life? There's so many things in life that produce pleasures, temporary pleasures. Yet they do not lead to God. Usually they lead away from God. They lead us away from God, and we can find ourselves disconnected from God and even disconnected from others. It is simple. It's the simple thing of exchanging what God offers us for temporal things. Think about this. Think about real relationships that you have, and you know what a real relationship feels like. It's so, it gives you life. But we see it today, and I see it literally, visually, I see it when we have real relationships before us, and we see this in our culture today. We have real relationships before us. People, a person who wants to talk to us, a person who wants to know our hearts, a person who wants to know the passions on the inside of us, a person who loves us and wants us to grow into a more deeper, meaningful relationship, into a deeper, meaningful connection. And what do we do? I have to get that phone back out. Get on our phone. Did you say something? We live life in our contemporary society in ways that disconnects. Because I can have something meaningful, a relationship in front of me, and yet I could be settling for texts that are popping up that could be dealt with later. Or scrolling Facebook in some meaningless ways just to see things, just to see the latest for something or some, it's so much lesser, the things that we settle for. And we see it in our society, and we exchange things sometimes for good things, for trivial pursuits. We get distracted from the greater things by the things that pale in comparison. And the reality is this is life for many people. And if we're honest, this is life for us, because it may not be Facebook, we may not like Facebook, but there might be other things that distract us away from what the real things, the good things, the greater things that are before us. And somewhere along the way in life, we might just wake up with a gnawing sense that there's something missing in our lives, there's something much more, but what is it? What are we missing? I don't know if you've ever had that feeling. I've had experiences of this where it feels like I'm missing something greater. And that maybe, just maybe, I've settled for something less than what I was intended for. And there's something greatly missing in my life. You know, it's part of our sinful nature to do this very thing, to choose the lesser things, and by that choice, foregoing the greater things. We make choices all the time. We don't often realize the consequences of our choices, or sometimes we do. And sometimes we wake up in those moments and we realize the consequences of our choices. But we don't often realize that we have missed or are missing the greater because of our choices. And that's what I'm talking about today. And maybe want to kind of dig in to say there is a greater love. There is a greater joy. And there are greater works. John 15:5 talks about this whole idea of being connected with God. It says this, it says, yes, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That we're the branches connected to the vine. He continues on, and I want to go a little further with this in verse 9. We can pick up there. Says this, it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command. The vine and the branches. That's the picture the Lord is painting before us. It says we can do nothing. We can do nothing or accomplish anything without this connection that we're called to with Jesus. Nothing of eternal value, nothing of kingdom significance apart from this connection with Christ. Fullness comes from this connection. You know, the scripture talks about true friendship with God is bound by true love. That we experience true love in his presence. And true love leads us to obedience. I don't know if you picked that words up. Can we go back to 9, the verse where it says John 15, 9. Go back to that screen. Yes. It talks about this love between the Son and the Father, that the Son has obeyed the Father out of love. And in this obedience, these commandments now that Jesus gives, says, do as I have done. Obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love. That this true love leads us to obey. And love leading to obedience, with that love leading to obedience, there comes joy. Joy. He says, I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. An overflowing, abundant joy. But that joy comes in knowing him. You know, God is our source. If we ever get out of balance or ever a disconnect in our lives from God, we're going to experience some issues of flow in our lives. You know, God is our source. And we're called to love God, and we're called to love each other. That's the command we're given. But I do want to say, it's not possible to do the latter without the first. To truly love each other, we must love him and know his love. Because that's where it starts. Him as our source. He's the vine. We're the branches. That connection is huge. And to disconnect that from that, we're going to feel lack in our lives. So let's look at God in one aspect of his nature. It is God's nature to give. This is why he's the vine and we're the branches. The life flows through him to us. His nature is to give. That is what he desires to do. And yet we're made in his image. We too have capacity to give. We were made to do that. So we're called to be givers. In fact, growing in giving is a sign of God's nature growing in us. If you want to know if you're growing in your Christian walk, well, look at your giving. Look at your love. Do you love people? Can you give to people without any sense of guilt? Just a free giving out of love? Can you do that? Like, that is a sign of growth in us. God's nature working and growing in us, where we want to give, where we want to find ways of expressing God's love to others. You know, the opposite of maturity is, well, immaturity, but immaturity is really defined by selfishness. and selfish love. Because immaturity says, give to me. Give to me. But I'm not mature enough to give to others. I'm not mature enough to nourish others. I can receive, but I don't give. Or if I give, I only give to receive. And we see that immaturity where it's a self-based focus. And we know when God calls us to grow, we're growing out of that. We're growing where I can freely give and where love can flow in me, through me, to others. So we grow out of immaturity, which is self-focused, and we enter a world where we give to others to bless and nourish others to build them up. This is what we're called to do, to be made in the image of God. And this growing nature of God in us, it actually brings joy. It brings joy. If we're growing in the very nature of God, it's going to naturally produce joy in us. That we will actually take joy in the blessing of others for their good. For their good, even when it cost us something. See, there you go. You have to come back to the cost. Because sometimes, if it costs me something, I'm not going to do it. If it costs me something, it's a good idea, but it's not going to happen because it's going to cost me something. But you see, that was the nature of God. It cost him something. It cost him something great. And so we understand that sometimes really, yes, giving costs. But why do it? Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Have you experienced that in your life? Have you experienced that in your life? It's more blessed to give. Like from me and out of me and things that I am going to give. And I'm going to bless for others' good, for their growth. For their blessing. So this means we're to take joy in giving, giving to God, giving to others. And sometimes the giving to others is the giving to God because in many ways it is. I have one example, and I want to bring this example up. Heart growth, how we grow in the Lord. I give, but if I give reluctantly, or if I give under compulsion, or if I give because I have to, if I give because it's religious duty, there's really no joy in that. That's not joyful. That's the have to. That's the, mom told me I had to do my homework. Mom said I had to eat my green beans. I don't want to. There's no joy in that, right? There's joy in being able to release something. Okay, there's a time, and I think I told you a story. The Lord called me to give my watch to a man I didn't know, a stranger. Well, I've never met this person. This person's having a conversation with somebody, and I hear, you know, cursing foul language, you know, and immediately I'm making a judgment. I don't like this person. I didn't give my watch that day. I think I've told that story. I didn't give my watch that day. My heart shrank back. What I didn't realize that day was God wasn't necessarily calling me to give to that man. I did not know God's love for this man. I didn't realize God's love for this man. I wasn't in that moment where I was experiencing God's love for that man. I was like, well, you know, I don't like his language, and you know, he can get his own watch. I mean, I didn't say that, but I was just, you know, I didn't give my watch. And it's not like I had a very expensive watch. But I'm telling you, at that time, my heart was closed, and there was no flow of love, and there was no joy in giving. If I gave, I would have given under compulsion, like, okay, well, I got to, I'll do it. I didn't have the love of God for that person, and there certainly was no joy in giving. So my heart shrank back from that. There was no growth happening in my heart on that day. Now, there's been other times the Lord prompted me, and I said yes. And I actually experienced the joy of giving. I actually seeing a lady in tears, a lady I had not met, but I knew her husband. But God, Lord said, just give them a small blessing because they're in need. You know, and I didn't know. I think, well, this is okay. We can do that. Praise God. But I didn't realize the note I wrote with the scripture was more meaningful to her, person I'd not met, than even the gift I gave. And it spoke loudly to her that God loved them. And God was caring for them. And God was watching over them in their need. God was taking care. And he was there for them. I was a part of the joy of giving and loving and blessing somebody because I saw, oh, wow, God, you love her. You love them more than I know, and I get to be a part of that. I've gotten to be a part of that, of sharing and flowing in this. There was a joy in that. That was a place my heart grew. When we see and experience the love of God for other people, it gets beyond just a thought. It gets beyond just an idea. I want this greater love. I ask for this greater love and this greater joy to be at work in me. And I pray that in the body of Christ, it's at work in us. So the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Do you know that? Or do you experience that? Right? There's a difference between knowing it in our head and experiencing it in our lives. So where does this joy start to take shape? I look at Psalm 16:11, and I believe this is one of those verses that kind of helps us understand where joy starts to take shape. Psalm of David, as he writes, he says, as he's speaking to God, David says, you make known to me the pathway of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you consider that there's pleasures at God's right hand? Eternal pleasures forevermore? Do you think and say, wait, do I even think of pleasures in that way or in that context? But the Bible says, our joy takes shape in his presence, in him, knowing him, experiencing these pleasures of knowing him, that we find our pathway in him, and in him there are great pleasures. The Bible says to enjoy God. Is he your joy? Is he your joy? Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. Take delight in your Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. The Bible says, delight yourself in him. Delight yourself in the Lord. So I look at this and I say, this is where joy starts to take shape. Scripture invites us to connect with God as a delight in our hearts, with delight. That when we connect with God, it's not religious ritual. It's not just I have to because I was told I should. I'm not just trying to be a good Christian. I'm not trying to just check off the boxes. But I'm actually seeking him, to know him, to have him in my life, to experience the greater. You see, he lays a table before us, but we don't have to eat from his table. Sometimes we don't. If there's a banqueting table that you're invited to, but you don't eat any of the food, do you enjoy any of the pleasures of eating from his table? You don't. Because you decided there was a McDonald's down the street that was going to be better than what the Lord laid out for you. But that's the exchange that we do in our Christian walk. The Lord lays a banqueting table before us, and it's rich with pleasures and beauty and wonder and joy. And we decide that a Happy Meal is going to be better for us today. That's the exchange that we often make as believers. And it bothers me because I've done it. I've exchanged the banqueting full feast that God lays before me, and I've exchanged it for a soy burger. Something I don't even know is real. Like a little spongy thing. Like a little spongy thing. You know? But what I see in us and in me, I say, oh God, this is my sinful nature. This may be the worst of my sinful nature. You know, I didn't go knock somebody in the head and rob them. I didn't do anything, I hope not yet, no, never do, that I deserve to be imprisoned. You know, I can say, well, I'm a pretty good person. But maybe my greatest sin is that sometimes I've forsaken the very beauty of God for things that are just honestly not worthy. Not worthy of his name and the glory of his presence. They're just not worthy. I don't know if you've ever felt grief in your soul, but I can say I felt grief in my soul, where the Holy Spirit literally inside of me is grieved because I've chosen something else for my pleasures on that day. Oh God, forgive me. And he has. This is how good he is. Because when that grief I feel leads me back to repentance and leads me to his presence, oh God, thank you that I can come into your presence. Even when I exchanged you for something so much less. God's desire is to fill us with joy. Overflowing joy. That's what David was experiencing. He's experienced this. He's speaking from his experience of God and being in his presence. Overflowing, abundant joy. God desires to fill us with joy. He desires us to seek him and to make him our focus. Our joy increases in his presence. Peace fills us when we know this God of peace. Rivers of life flow in our hearts as we sing to God with gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, the blessings of God flow into our life. In his presence, there are great joys. But they don't happen apart from him. They don't happen separated from him. They happen with him, with God. So we put down our phone and our Facebook and we say, okay, I'm ready for meaningful relationship. I'm ready for connection. I'm ready to go deeper. God is eager to fulfill the righteous desires of his children, filling us with joy, giving us good things. And as we do, as we spend time in his presence, we're purified. Our very desires are purified. What we want is purified. Where we get to the point of saying, Happy Meal? Oh, that's gross. No way. Throw it in the trash. I'm not going there anymore. Our desires change as we spend time in his presence. It's transforming us. Where we don't want what we used to want. We're not willing to exchange what we used to exchange God for. We're not willing to do that anymore because we're knowing his presence. We're knowing his glory. We're knowing his grace in such powerful ways. We don't want that old stuff. We don't want to exchange anymore. We're not willing to accept lesser things in our lives. It's all about connectedness. The vine connected to the branches. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you've experienced that, you know. It's experiential. When you know that the Lord in you, delighting yourselves in him, it's like life. It is like life flowing into us. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It can make a gray, cloudy day beautiful, sunny, and bright because of this life flowing in us from the vine to the branches. But it's about connectedness. And our delight in him is connectedness. But what if we're missing joy? What if we're missing joy today? Kind of like missing a long-lost friend. We've known it. We've experienced it, but it seems like we've been missing it. The famous evangelist Billy Sunday writes this. He says, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. There's a leak somewhere. Something is missing. And if we're missing joy, what really are we missing? What if we're missing God Himself? I'm not talking about religious duty. I'm not talking about checking off the boxes. I'm talking about missing God Himself. Pastor Sam Storms writes about joy. He says this, he says, joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. No, he says, joy, it is the presence of God. Joy is the presence of God. To be in His presence is joy. It's joy. Even if we come broken down and sorrowful, it's joy to be in His presence. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We come already approved, already accepted, already loved. You see, we don't have to come into His presence and prove anything. But we come and we kneel and we come into His presence and say, Lord, I'm yours and I accept all that you give to me. I'm not worthy. But He didn't ask us to be worthy. He says, because He is worthy. And finally, C.S. Lewis says this. He says, joy is the serious business of heaven. It's serious business up there. And He wants us on earth to have the heavenly joy. Right now, right here. God's serious about joy, and He's serious that we have it. And I don't believe worship in heaven is dull. I don't believe it's a boring event. I don't believe it's something that you just kind of want to sit out on. You know, sometimes I think we approach God. I know as a young person, we approach God because sometimes we see religion, right? And we experience religion. And sometimes we look at God and say, God, you know, you're a little bit like vanilla ice cream. I mean, you taste good, but you're a little boring. I'd just really rather have the fruity flavors today. I'd really rather have all the sprinkles and all the, you know, the exciting stuff. And sometimes we'll approach God that way because in our minds, we kind of think He's like vanilla ice cream. A little bit boring. But I would say you really haven't experienced God. I would say you really don't know the joy of His presence. Because if we start thinking, and we do, in our sinful nature, we start thinking that what the world offers, wow, it's like a carnival. It's like rides at Six Flags. It's exhilarating. It takes you to heights and spins you around and does all kinds of things. And you just feel giddy and excited at the candy store, like a kid who just can't get his eyes off all the candy. And I think about that because I look at it from a child's perspective. Like, what did I feel like, you know? And it seems like in all that the world offers, it seems like, well, God's a little bit vanilla. But I don't think we've really been to His banqueting table. I don't really believe we've been in His presence truly. If we approach God like He's just vanilla. To be in His presence is to be full of joy, where God becomes the treasure of my heart. Can God be the center of your joy? Is God the center of your joy? He can't be if the world has captured your heart. If you're living for the things of this world, He can't be. He can't be in the center. And you're missing joy. You're missing true joy if that's the case. If I continually try to find my joy in the arms of this world and what it has to offer, then I'll be missing the joy of God because I'm always looking to the world to provide that. I'm looking for the next thing. Maybe it's the next car. Maybe it's the next experience. Maybe it's the next, you know, whatever it may be. I'm ready for the newest flavor of the day. And I keep looking that way. I'm missing the joy. I'm missing Him being in the center. Because I could be consumed with finding joy in temporal things. Now, I don't want you to leave here today thinking that God did not create things for your enjoyment. But there's a difference I want to say. I do want to say this. We can enjoy beautiful flowers. We can enjoy wonderfully cooked meals. You know, we can enjoy wonderful, healthy, loving friendships. Married couples can enjoy beautiful intimacy. We can delight in hard work and even accomplishing things out of our hard work. You know, these things are enjoyable, and God has given them to us. He's given them to us to enjoy. But they can never replace Him. You know, food can never replace God. Sex can never replace God. You know, all the things that God does give us to enjoy are never meant to be in the center. It cannot be the center. So, you know, I would say this. I would say when we enjoy nature, and do, when we enjoy delicious food, and I would say, yes, do, when we enjoy health and vitality, you know, we should all look to Him and say, thank you, God. You gave that for me to enjoy. I'm not here to indulge or just to make that my life, but I'm blessed because that tastes good. I'm blessed by loving relationships that are life-giving. I'm blessed by that. And so we give thanks to God because, you know, if we enjoy nature, it points to God. We say, thank you, God, that you made this tree. Thank you, God, that you made these flowers and all the beauty of creation and the diversity and everything that's in it. It's amazing. So when you look at that, think about God and think about this joy that He wants you to have. Even in springtime, the joy He wants you to have. Healthy food is given to us to sustain us and strengthen us. Hard work allows us to funnel our energy and our creativity and the very things that God has, their skills and our gifts, the very things that God has given us. You know, it's a place for us for personal growth, to give and to work for good things and even to bless others by the work we do. They all have a purpose, but they are not an end unto themselves. They're not an end unto themselves. I cannot find my full satisfaction in work. I cannot find everything I was created for in that. There are pleasures, there are beauty, there are things to enjoy. But it's not an end unto itself. If we make these things the center, there will be a diminishing return as they are temporal, and they cannot fulfill us for the joy we were created to have. I think it's important sometimes to step back and think, God, what is the center of my joy? What am I going after today? And I am here to say that, church, it can only be found in Him. And that's My thoughts are somewhat simple, and I'll just leave you with two thoughts. If we're missing greater joy, and there's other thoughts that could be put in here, but I'm just going to give you two. If we're missing greater joy, we could be in a season of mourning. We could be in a season of grieving, okay? And that's real, and that's honest, and that's things that we have to go through. There are things, there are losses that we experience, losses of someone or something. There's a season. And God says He comforts those who mourn. Okay, He comforts those who mourn. And there's a blessing even in that, when things we have to mourn and grieve and let go of, and it's hard and it's difficult. You know, we could be even sad because the pain of letting go of temporal things. You know, that the hard thing of letting go of things that I have tried to find my joy in, and I've centered my life around it, and now it's a pain, it's the pain inside of me that says, this isn't it. This is not it. And letting go and releasing it and shifting in life, sometimes in a very radical way. and how we need to let go of one season of our life to enter a radical new season with God. Sometimes there's pain in that, okay? And that's okay, because that's good pain. That's good pain that's leading us to a greater joy. And so we let go. But my second thought is, if we're not mourning, we're missing him. We're missing him, the center of our joy. And the invitation to us today is, don't miss him. Don't miss him. Reconnect. Reconnect with the one who is joy and gives joy abundantly to us. Reconnect with him. Rekindle a love for him. That goes back to fan into flame. You know, he still loves us. Even if we've gone after everything in the world to try to replace him, even if we've done that as believers, he still loves us. But it's time to turn away. It's time to come back to the one who is true joy and gives us abundant joy. Rekindle that love for him. For in that, you will find. If you rekindle your love for God, in that you will find increasing joy. And your love for others will grow. I'm praying this for me. Because sometimes I look at my life and say, Lord, I feel like my love is so small. When I think about you and I think about your love and what you have done, I say, Lord, how am I reflecting you? I mean, maybe I do, but Lord, I feel like my love is so small. And so I pray, Lord God, I want my love, your love in me to grow. And I know there's joy. There is joy waiting for me. There's joy waiting for you as we rekindle that flame. That's my prayer. Those are my thoughts for the day. Next week, I want to continue, though, but I think these are some things I just say give great attention to. Give great attention to. Joy and love are inseparable, but true joy will flow out of your love for God. And I want to dig a little deeper into that.